Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to sift through the insights and, well, give you the clearest understanding we can. Today we're digging into Chapter 06 of the workbook. It's titled An Appropriate Response, and it focuses specifically on compassion, how essential it is in recovery.
Exactly. And our goal today really is to unpack why compassion, maybe especially self-compassion, isn't just a nice to have. You know, it's actually a very powerful, very practical tool. Helps you navigate some pretty choppy waters when you're healing. And we'll definitely connect it back to that RAFT to freedom metaphor we've been exploring, show how it all fits together.
Okay, great. So let's start with the basics. How does the workbook actually define compassion? I see Karuna or Anukampa here. Mm-hmm. It says, the wish that those suffering, including ourselves, are free from suffering. That including ourselves feels pretty key right from the start.
Absolutely foundational, yeah. The sources, they really stress that compassion is this vital heart quality, almost like a prescription for healing the heart-mind. That's the
Sutta.
And it's presented as one of the four true faces of love, the Brahma Viharas. Think of them as these, well, appropriate responses to life's ups and downs, the difficulties we all face.
An appropriate response. I like that framing. And when we talk about those difficulties, especially in recovery, the workbook uses some interesting phrases instead of just addiction. Things like the human struggle with craving and avoidance.
Yeah.
Or even just the habits we use to manage pain. So if that's the struggle, how does compassion step in? How does it help?
Well, that leads us straight into the power of self-compassion, which is just so crucial here. The materials explain that compassionate care directed inward helps to demystify addiction. It reduces that heavy weight of shame and stigma, and it fosters a secure environment inside yourself, basically, for healing to actually happen.
As a secure environment.
Yeah, and what's really fascinating from a biological perspective, even, is that it activates brain pathways associated with trust and emotional regulation.
Wow, okay. So it's not just a nice idea, it's actually changing brain function.
Yeah.
Towards trust and regulation.
That's what the science suggests, yeah. It helps you feel safer, fundamentally, within your own experience, less reactive.
That makes sense. But, you know, when you're really caught up in old patterns, it can feel like your brain is just stuck. How does activating these pathways make a difference when you inevitably fall short?
Right, because that happens. It creates a different internal response. So instead of falling into that familiar spiral of, you know, shame and self-blame.
Which can so easily trigger a relapse.
Exactly. Self-compassion encourages a different path. It encourages renewed commitment. It fosters that mindset of progress, not perfection.
Mm-hmm.
So you stumble, right? Instead of the inner critic yelling, you failed, self-compassion allows for, all right, that happened. What's the lesson here? How can I meet this with some kindness and get back on track?
That difference is huge between self-condemnation, getting stuck, and renewed commitment moving forward. And the workbook talks about guilt versus remorse too, doesn't it? How guilt gets like, I was bad, I'm bad, I will always be bad.
Yeah, that's the trap. It solidifies into this fixed negative identity.
Mm.
But remorse... remorse is different. Remorse acknowledges the action, the harm maybe, but it holds the possibility of making different choices going forward. It allows you to approach yourself with friendliness and cut ourselves some slack.
So the past becomes a lesson, not a life sentence.
Precisely. You're not trapped by it. And this is where mindfulness practices come in, like the body scan mentioned in the text. They directly help nurture self-compassion because they help us learn to just be present. To feel more safely present with whatever's happening inside, you know, in our bodies, with our urges, our emotions, just as they are without immediately judging or reacting.
So when an urge comes up, instead of fighting it or giving in instantly, the practice helps you. What? Observe it.
Observe it. Yeah. Feel the raw sensation of it, maybe with a sense of curiosity or even friendliness rather than fear or judgment, like watching a wave, as you said earlier, rather than being swept away.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Meeting it with kindness.
Mm-hmm. And that kindness, that friendliness is absolutely vital when we look at the RAFT to freedom model again. Remember RAFT, recognize, abandon, friendliness, trust. Well, compassion is key for that abandoning stage, the A. The workbook explicitly states that abandoning harmful compulsions skillfully requires cultivating these heart qualities. It lists self-compassion, self-love, self-appreciation, and self-balance. You need these to truly let go.
And the metaphor deepens there too. Craving, Tanta, is described as this powerful, underlying current.
Right.
Always trying to pull your raft back to the dangerous shore or into destructive whirlpools. It creates the leaks as the heavy cargo.
Exactly. It's the force we're working with. And goal two in the RAFT process is all about learning to recognize that current, understand its power, and then begin the skillful work of abandoning our entanglement with it. You know, patching those leaks, throwing the unnecessary weight overboard. And the text highlights loving kindness, metta, as the vital attitude of friendliness and self-compassion that you need. It's what allows you to meet your cravings and yourself with the kindness that actually makes true letting go possible.
So you're not fighting the current with brute force, but using this compassionate awareness to navigate more skillfully.
Precisely. It's a wiser way.
Which leads to the idea of the heart's compass, the sitter. That's like the raft's guidance system.
Effectively, yes. It's the guiding compass and stabilizer. It keeps your wise intention aligned. And that compass works best, stays true, when it's supported by cultivating compassion and these related qualities. It really is your inner guidance towards freedom.
That paints a really clear picture.
So if we're summing up this deep dive, what the workbook really drives home is that cultivating compassion, especially for yourself, isn't just some, you know, fluffy add-on. It is absolutely essential. It's practical. It's a wise response that forms the very foundation of the journey away from these compulsive, reactive patterns. It's where the real healing happens.
A powerful foundation. So as we finish up today, maybe something for you, the listener, to reflect on. Just take this question with you. What does the idea of self-compassion mean to me? Does it feel accessible, difficult, or perhaps unfamiliar? I don't know. Just sit with that for a bit. See what comes up as you continue exploring your own path.